To the left-hand side for Vieira, who'll play it through to Gabriel Jesus, who's in here for Arsenal. Gabriel Jesus to finish it off. Oh, what a way to do it! Gabriel Jesus seals the points for Arsenal. He's back, and he's back with a bang.
Into the penalty area it goes. Gabriel header, and it's into the back of the net. Arsenal take an early lead through Gabriel.
Listening to the Chronicles of Aguna, the daily Arsenal podcast with me, Harry Simeon.
Good morning, everybody. How's it going? Welcome back to another live edition of the Chronicles of Aguna, the Arsenal podcast, part of course, the 90 Min Football family with me, your host, Harry Simeon. On this episode, we're going to look ahead to tonight's fixture against Wolverhampton Wanderers. I know I'm bringing you this preview a little bit later on in the day. It's not going to be exactly the same as the previews that we normally bring you. I'm not going to go into loads and loads of depth around the fixture itself because of the fact that it is just a few hours away. I woke up yesterday feeling incredibly unwell. I'd had a good run without catching a cold or anything like that from my kids. But I woke up yesterday feeling really unwell. I dragged myself out of bed, went down to a fantastic event around Soccer Aid that the TalkSport team were kind enough to let me represent them in and go and cover for them. And that was amazing. I got home last night. I wasn't feeling great. So I took it easy. And I'm here today. And I wanted to kind of reframe the show a little bit. So it's not quite a Wolves preview. We'll get into the starting 11. We'll talk about a prediction and all of that stuff. But I don't want to spend ages covering stats and bits and pieces around the game that is, as I say, just a few hours away. So in order to give this podcast a little bit more shelf life, what I want to talk about is some of the comments that Mikel Arteta has made following, of course, the defeat to Bayern Munich and in the lead up to the game that we have coming up this evening. I also want to talk about the kind of attitude of Arsenal fans at the moment, or the feeling around Arsenal fans at the moment, because I feel like it's gone from super positive 2 weeks ago to negativity, negativity, negativity. And I had a really interesting tweet, or X as they're called nowadays, come my way. Literally 5 minutes before we went on to this show, or I joined live, and it was from Sephiroth, who, and I'm going to read this out because I think this is a classic example of where people just get me wrong, and it is frustrating, and I probably shouldn't even respond to it, but I think I want to, because I want to highlight what this point essentially says about the Arsenal fan base at this moment in time. Lots of talk about, first of all, in my replies this morning, I put out a tweet saying, look, it's been a rough week for the Arsenal. We can't go back and change the results versus Villa or Bayern, but we can go out there today and start to put things right. We're 2 points off the top with 6 games to go. Would you accept the team waving the white flag the way some of our fans have? And the answer to that is no. No way. Get behind the boys. 6 cup finals left. Let's give it our best shot and see where we end up. You know, everybody talks about Manchester City being formidable, myself included. But actually, if you look back over this season, I'm not saying that Man City are worse. So I think they're on course to finish with more points than they did last year. But they're not perfect. They went out of Europe the other night. They have dropped points in the Premier League season on many occasions, which is why the title race isn't done and dusted at this stage. And despite us losing to Aston Villa the other day, we're still only 2 points behind. We have the superior goal difference at the minute as well. So there's lots of reason to still believe that Arsenal are in there. And as I say, if the players were to wave the white flag the way some of our supporters have, that wouldn't be accepted. That wouldn't be tolerated. So why are we as a fan base so negative, so pessimistic? You can think that we're not favourites, which is where I am. But you can also get behind the team, support the team, try and put across the right messages. And I'm sure the fans that are making the trip to Molineux this evening will do exactly that, because our away support especially is fantastic. But you can't just throw the towel in at this stage. There was some mention in the replies to that tweet that I put out this morning about the amount of money that Arsenal have spent under Mikel Arteta. And I understand that people look at that amount of money and go, well, you should probably be seeing a bit more return from that. The context that's always missed is that the squad that we are chasing now, the squad that we are up against, the team that everybody thinks is going to go on and win the Premier League, Manchester City, it cost them 1.2 billion to assemble that squad. So you can throw that 700 million spent figure out there when you're talking about Arsenal. First of all, it's not 700 million. It's way shy of that. But even if it was 700 million, Manchester City spend in order to construct that squad is still nearly double that. So that kind of kills that argument, in my opinion, and sort of brings some context into that whole conversation. Then somebody said to me on there, and I promise I'll stop talking about what other people said to me in a minute. I think you, Tom Canton, and Lee Gunner are all similar in different ways. Now, Lee does what he does. No issue with it. Lee can do him. No problem. That's how he sees things. That's his opinion. Not an issue. Tom and me are on the same page on a lot of Arsenal-related issues, I would say, and probably quite similar in the way that we approach things and that we prefer to approach things with a glass-half-full approach rather than the glass-half-empty. So this tweet said, I think you, Tom Canton, and Lee Gunner are all similar in different ways. Lee is negative no matter what the manager does, and you are too positive even after losing so many crucial games. It's better to be in the middle with no pro or Arteta agenda. No pro or anti-Arteta agenda. Lee responded, not Lee Gunner, Lee Catlow. It's an outstanding point. Harry is too pro and Lee Gunner is too negative. Guys, I just prefer to let the thing play out and give people the benefit of the doubt. And the reason I give Mikel Arteta the benefit of the doubt is because he has undoubtedly taken this club forward. He has undoubtedly brought this club to the point where we're having weeks like the week we just had, where we're in a title race and it feels like if you drop points, you know, it's really bad and it's something that is, really kind of difficult to get over and it could have a massive implication on the title race. You got to be in that position for that to be the case. You got to be in the race to win it, right? And we are in the race. This is the second consecutive season that we've been in the race. And to get knocked out of the Champions League quarterfinal by European royalty in Bayern Munich, you have to be in the Champions League quarterfinal, somewhere that Arsenal haven't been for a long, long time. So I choose to give Mikel Arteta my support and the benefit of the doubt because I look at this club and I look at how far it's come over the last couple of seasons. Were there questions to be asked before? Yeah, and I understood why at the time people were questioning Mikel Arteta. But obviously, that was the foundations being laid, and it was imperative that having been given the time, he was then, allowed to kind of, having been given the time, it was imperative that he showed something. And he has showed something by taking the team forward another step. Now, the next step is going on and winning one of those big trophies, the Premier League or the Champions League. There's no guarantee that that step ever comes. Regardless of who the manager is, given what you're up against. And I'm not saying you shouldn't be ambitious and I'm not saying you shouldn't aim for that. All I am saying is that football isn't that bloody black and white. And I choose, because I think Mikel Arteta's done a cracking job in the last couple of years, I choose to let this season play out and see what happens. And the main reason for that is because there's still a bit of belief within me that we can go on and win this Premier League title, as there should be in every single Arsenal fan. I don't mind the neutrals saying, nope, it's gone for Arsenal. I don't really care when people talk about our club like that. What I care about and what I take issue with is when our fans are desperate to write us off. If you're so sure and so certain that Arsenal can't win the Premier League title, why are you going to give up 2 hours of your evening tonight to watch Arsenal's game at Wolves, which I'm sure you'll all be doing? Why don't you just ignore it? Why don't you just watch Ant and Dec's Saturday night takeaway on ITV or something like that? If you don't believe, what's the point? Like, football is our dreams, man. Football is our hopes. Football is the thing that we turn to get away from the stresses of everyday life. Why make it more stressful than it needs to be? It's already stressful enough as it is. You don't need to add to it by pouring a constant supply of negativity over everything that Arsenal do. If Mikel Arteta was, and I don't make us favourites, to be clear, but if Mikel Arteta was to take Arsenal on to win the Premier League now, how stupid would the people that are calling for his head and that have been doing so for the last few days following the Bayern Munich game, how stupid are those people going to look? Who wants to look stupid in life? Who wants to come across as the village idiot? Given that Arsenal are just 2 points behind Manchester City with 6 games to go, and the opportunity that we have in front of us now to potentially go 4 points clear of them with a couple of victories against Wolves and Chelsea ahead of their next Premier League game, you'd be silly to write Arsenal off. You'd be silly to write Liverpool off even. This title race is really tight. It's really, really tight. And we're going to have to wait and see how it pans out and what happens. Let's take a few of your comments from the live chat. I realize I've started the podcast with a bit of a rant, but hey, it is what it is. Andrew says, I agree, Harry, although the team needs to show some mettle and fight themselves instead of waving the white flag themselves. Do you, Andrew, and this is a question, and please reply in the comments. I'm interested to get your view on this. Do you really believe that the drop-off in the second half against Villa and in the second half against Bayern Munich was down to a lack of mental strength, fight, or resilience? Or do you think it was a physical thing? Because I really do believe it was a physical thing. It's too much of a coincidence in my mind to say that they went in at halftime of both of those games and just went, oh, you know what, we've gassed out, we're done here. Like, forget it, mentally, we're not there anymore. And checking out at halftime mentally, I don't think that's what happened. I think it is literally a case of the physical side of it catching up with us. And if you want to go back and, you know, with hindsight, say, well, maybe we should have rotated a little bit more and all of this stuff over the course of the season up until this point, I understand it. But I also think there's another question that comes when you go down that line of thought. And that question is, well, if we did rotate and if we did change it up and if we, did, for example, give Gabriel a rest or Declan Rice a rest or, you know, Bukayo Saka a rest earlier on in the season, we might be stronger today, but we might have dropped points that we have on the board as a result of those guys playing and being involved in those games that you're maybe calling for Mikel Arteta to have potentially rotated in. So it's really difficult, isn't it, to really know. And hindsight is a wonderful thing. But Andrew, please let me know. I'm interested. Jid says, come on now, Harry. When you were doing your fixture and total score prediction when Arsenal was first, you predicted that we would finish third, told you it wasn't over, and you weren't convinced. Even said, no way City dropped points. Now we're not first and you're saying it's not over yet and City can still drop points. Please be consistent. Yeah, because my prediction at that time, at that point in the season, was that Arsenal would finish third. That was my prediction. My prediction has changed in that I think Arsenal now probably finish second. But there's a difference between a prediction and what I want to see happen. A prediction is what you think is going to happen. And obviously what I want to happen is Arsenal to go on and win the league. And I've already prefaced what I've said today by the point of, I don't think Arsenal are favourites. But does that mean that because I, Harry Simeu, sitting in his man cave in North London somewhere in front of a camera and a microphone, thinks that Arsenal are probably going to finish second, that a group of professional athletes that have worked all their lives to get to this point should wave the white flag? No. And just because I think Manchester City are going to win the Premier League, it doesn't mean that they will. I've got many predictions wrong, and predictions can change. That's how it works. I still don't think we win it, but I don't think we should be waving the white flag. Because how are we going to feel? Can you imagine? And look, if Arsenal go on and win their next 6 games, and Manchester City go on and win the remainder of their games and are crowned champions. And we were within touching distance. I'll be gutted on the final day of the season. Of course I will. But I think once I move into the summer and I'm at that kind of review point where I start to look back and with a calmer head and with the emotion having been removed from it because you've had a bit of time to kind of process what you've seen and what's gone on, I think I'll be proud of the season because I'll look at it and I'll say, we've managed again to be in the title race right until the death. We managed to do that while navigating Champions League football as well, which was something that people said we couldn't do. I remember at the start of the season, some of my colleagues at 90 Min had us in fourth place. Some even had us in fifth place because they feared that having seen Arsenal drop off at the back end of last season, that they would struggle to cope with the demands of Premier League and Champions League football. And instead, okay, we got to the quarterfinals. It's not great. A semi-final finish is what I was after at the minimum. But we've shown everybody that we can do it on multiple fronts. And that, for me, is a step forward. Now, is it the final destination? Is it where Arsenal want to be in the end? No, of course not. You want to be lifting those trophies come the end of May or even start of June nowadays. You want to be in those positions. But because I predict something doesn't mean that we should give up hope and that there's no chance. It's my prediction. I don't really understand why people put so much weight on predictions. Predictions are interesting to listen to, but none of us get every single prediction right. If we did and football was that predictable, nobody would watch it. Nobody would be interested in it. Big hello to Corks in Pilot, who says, finally catch you live, Harry. Great to see you. Love your shows. Good to see you, mate. Hope you're well. Hope everything's good. Thank you for joining us. Joey La Odegaard says, when a club is successful or in the spotlight, you'll always have fringe supporters. All we can do as proper supporters is be with the squad through thick and thin. It's okay to criticise, not demoralise. I think there's a way of criticising as well. And I think that goes in any walk of life. I think you can be critical and you should be critical in order to constantly try and improve. But I think particularly in sport where morale is such a big thing, I think you've got to be really careful about how you position that and the impact that that can have. Glenn says, year after year, we are improving, and that's down to Arteta and Edu. And next year, we will be even stronger. Kasim says, asking for accountability doesn't mean you're toxic. Asking for accountability is fine. But I want the accountability to be distributed in the right ways and fairly. Because what always happens is, like, for example, take the Bayern Munich tie, right? Ben White has been an unbelievable player for Arsenal over the last few seasons. I absolutely adore the guy, and everybody makes mistakes. I'm not going to sit here and sort of bash Ben White because he missed that chance at 1-0 in the first leg. But equally, we can all agree that that would have had a big impact on the way that the tie went. And therefore, why is it fair to not give Ben White accountability there and put it all on Mikel Arteta? We're in this really weird world where managers are held accountable for every little detail in football. And yes, they have a big impact on a lot. They can change games. They can lose you games. They can make bad decisions that cost you. They can also make decisions that win you games. But this whole, like, oh, well, you know, a player misses a golden opportunity, they'd stick in the back of the net 99 times out of 100, we should pile in on the manager for that, is, for me, not right. You know, I've worked in management positions. I worked in a management position in the bank back before I changed careers. And I had people whose performance I was responsible for. If you pulled me into my room, if you pulled me into the room as the sort of branch manager, for example, and you said to me, one of your cashiers was £50 short because they gave somebody £50 too much, you're going to lose your job for it now. Would I feel that's fair? No, I wouldn't. So accountability has to exist, but it has to be distributed and it has to be, it has to be dished out to the right people and with proportion, in my opinion. Okay, What else we got? Moose joins us from Sweden, catching the live show for the first time. Welcome. He says, keep up the good work, Harry. Thank you so much. Mario says, love this, mate. So many haters of us, even our own fans. It doesn't matter about if we win. It's about the ride and if we have progressed. We do need a few more players to help us through certain periods. Agreed. We can all agree that we're not the finished article. I don't think anyone's saying that. Asaf says, we live in a world where everyone is instant positive, negative criticism, beliefs and disbeliefs, and even entire agendas. No sensible person writes off Arteta and this team. Absolutely. Just going back to my point about people looking stupid if Arsenal do go on and win the league. James said, Harry, they don't care about looking stupid. I see them. One minute they're Arteta out. Next thing they're doing a carnival dance at the ground. Anyway, let's take it on to tonight's game, which is only a few hours away. I'm not making the trip to Wolves, as you'd have gathered, because I'm sitting here talking to you. BBC London Sport is not on air that late, and I'm feeling absolutely awful, and so I'm not going. But I am going to be at the game on Tuesday against Chelsea, and I'm going to be part of something that I think a lot of you will be tuning in to watch, actually, over the next few days, Arsenal-related, which I'll share the details with you when I can. Really, really looking forward to that. But it's going to be a really sort of busy Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and so I'm not making the trip up to Molineux today. Need to get better. Need to make sure I'm in tip-top shape for the next week. Marvel Design says, I always love your show. This is my first time commenting. Thank you so much. I know there's so many of you that watch and that don't really comment, or that listen on audio and that don't really get in touch. But please do. I encourage it. I love it. Honestly, it feels really nice to know that people are enjoying the podcast, and it feels really nice to kind of get to exchange views with you guys as well, because there aren't that many solo one-man podcasts out there. That's what the Chronicles of Aguna is most of the time. That was the kind of unique thing that I wanted to do when I looked at the fact that there was loads of Arsenal podcasts out there. What could I do differently? And the reason I called it the Chronicles of Aguna is because it was me, and it still is, I guess, sort of going through the ride as an Arsenal fan. And over time, I've moved into the media, but being able to kind of share that with you. But that means that it really heavily relies on you guys interacting as well. So I'll always encourage that. Okay. Arsenal Content says, this is my go-to podcast before bed when it's chill time. Bedtime story. I'm glad I put you to sleep. All right, let's look ahead to the game today. Let's start off by touching on some of Mikel Arteta's comments from the press conference, which he gave yesterday ahead of this one. I thought there were some interesting points made. Arteta is, in my opinion, saying all of the right things. He was talking about, obviously, the past week. He said, look, as an experience, it wasn't the best one, defeat in the league and defeat in the Champions League. But he's fully focused on the times that we have ahead of us with six games to go. We're a game behind City and we're going to give it a real go. On the context of the Wolves game, he was very, very clear. He said, if we win, we're top of the league. That's the context. We don't need anything else to be motivated or to go to that game with our minds clear and our purpose very, very clear. Obviously, Sir Chips Keswick passed away in the week, former chairman of the club. We haven't done a show since that news broke, so obviously our condolences go to his family and friends, of course. Whoops. But Mikel Arteta was asked about that, of course, and he said, look, to his family, I'm very grateful. When he was chairman, I was captain, and he's a personal figure that was very well respected and loved around the football club. He did so many incredible things to keep evolving and progressing this football club with very integral and good values. May he rest in peace. Asked about the team's growth and psychological development, he said, it's been a very intense journey and we deserve to be at the top fighting at such a level. So you're going to have to go through that. This job, this industry is constantly testing your resilience and your ego. Things go well and things don't go well. And you have to be able to navigate and go through those moments in a natural way, understanding the context and looking at the positives. That's the best thing you can do to learn and to look forward. He was asked about Jurrien Timber, who, of course, we know is very, very close to a return to action. He was asked about Timber's role when he returns, and he said he plays in both positions, right and left fullback, in relation to the game and the players we have available. So not wanting to be tied down to committing Jurrien Timber's future to one of those positions. He's going to use him all across the back line. I really do believe that. There was talk about Saka and Odegaard being targeted, which, look, you've got good players. People are going to do that. So I'm not going to read into that too much. He was asked if this game, the game against Wolves, comes too soon for Jurrien Timber. And Mikel Arteta said it is too soon. He's going to play a game with the under-21s, and after that, we will see better where he is, how he felt. He looks really good in training, but it's the last step now. We need that certainty that he is ready to go. Arsenal take on Blackburn Rovers at Ewood Park in the Premier League 2 on Monday night, and Jurrien Timber is expected to take part in that game, fingers crossed. So I'm sure lots and lots of people will be watching that. Maybe that's a bit of a clue with regards to what I was talking about earlier on. Asked lots about whether the blip this season compares to last season. And this is the thing, right, that really kind of annoys me a little bit. When people say blip, okay, if you're talking about in a Premier League context, it's one result. It's literally one result. And that's why I get frustrated when I see people getting carried away. If Arsenal lose again at Wolves today, then fine. Let's talk about a blip. Let's talk about a bad run of form. We lost two games against West Ham and Fulham, didn't we? Just before the turn of the year. And those games, you know, have proven to be very, very costly. But it was back-to-back results, and I could understand why after back-to-back results people were frustrated. Obviously, we've had back-to-back defeats if you factor in the fact that we lost to Bayern in the Champions League, but it's a different competition, different world. And so I'm not going to say this is a blip now. I'm going to say we drop points in a vital game against Aston Villa. We need to get back on the wagon. People keep talking about mental strength, resilience, etc., etc. Show us that today by going out to Wolves and putting in a good performance. That brings me on nicely to what Mikel Arteta should do with regards to the team. Because there are players that I always want to see in this Arsenal team. But I also appreciate that some of them are bloody dead on their feet. So what changes should Mikel Arteta be looking to make in this fixture? I don't think you want to mess around too much with the back line. I'm not for that. And I don't know if I'd play Alexander Zinchenko at Molineux. I think I'd prefer to go Tomiyasu. I think I'd actually prefer Kivior to come in as well, rather than, of course, Zinchenko, just because I think he leaves us vulnerable defensively because of the way he roams. But do we need his creativity in the midfield? There's probably an argument for that as well. In the midfield, we played Jorginho, Rice and Odegaard in midweek. Odegaard didn't look fit, but I'm hoping he's recovered, because I don't really think we have an Odegaard replacement. I'd absolutely 100% bring Thomas Partey back into the team. Because I think having Thomas Partey in the team and the ground he can cover, albeit he's not at his peak level, I do think that that takes away a little bit of the responsibility that Declan Rice has when he's partnered with Jorginho around covering ground. I think Jorginho is really good on the ball. We talked about it. I thought he was probably our best player in Munich the other night. But, you know, it's when Rice plays with Jorginho, Rice is expected to do more covering of ground. And I just think with Partey in there, you might not need to take Rice out of the team, but you'd be able to give Rice less defensive responsibility. So Partey would come in for Jorginho for me. Odegaard is too integral, too important. I wouldn't leave him out. Saka, again, falls into the category of too integral, too important. I'd probably keep him in the side. What do we do at centre forward? At the moment, I still prefer Havertz to Jesus. I know a lot of people probably disagree with that. Do you go as far as giving Nketiah a go? I don't know. Does Emile Smith Rowe get a shout? Does Trossard start the game? There are lots and lots of questions. And I think a lot of this is going to be down to, look, we know what Mikel Arteta's preferred 11 is. We know what he likes to go with. We know what the fundamentals are of his preferred 11. But how have people recovered? I think that's going to play a big part. Wolves are decimated by injuries at the moment. They've got a real problem in a number of areas. Gary O'Neill sort of hinted in the lead up to this game that he might make wholesale changes as well. But that doesn't mean you can take them lightly. That doesn't mean you could turn up at Molineux with your sliders on and your sandals on and think that you're just going to get through it. So, yeah, let's see. The Masked Cannon says Trossard as a nine, maybe, possibly. Some people have suggested Emile Smith-Rowe. He's not convinced me in the short bits that we've seen in recent times, so I probably wouldn't bring him in. But yeah, big decisions to make. I guess the lineup I'd probably go with then is Raya in goal, White, Saliba, Gabriel, Tomiyasu, Partey, Rice, Odegaard, Saka, Havertz, and Trossard, I think is what I would lean towards. But we'll wait and see. We'll wait and see what Mikel Arteta does. In terms of a prediction, I'm going to back Arsenal to bounce back. I'm going to go for Wolverhampton Wanderers 0, Arsenal 2. That's what I'm going to go with. I back us to keep a clean sheet and to go to Molineux and get all 3 points. And then if we can follow that up with a victory against Chelsea, we really crank up the pressure on Man City. And then whatever happens, happens. As long as we do our bit, guys. That's all we can ask. Raul, I'll take this question finally before I go off. My nose is so blocked. I've got to the point after half an hour where I'm struggling to talk now. But Raul says, hi, Harry. Watching live after a long time. We talk about player resilience and emotional maturity when things go bad. But how about us as fans? Does the same apply to our fans as well? Yeah, I think it does. I think we need to be more mature as well, because the feeling that we have going into games dictates the vibes that we put across to the players, for those of us when we're at the stadiums, but also just the social media narrative and all of that. It shapes the way that people in the media talk about Arsenal. And I think that can shape stories and narratives too. So I do think we have to be mature. I do think we have to recognize that losing just one Premier League game in 2024, which is where we're at right now, is not the crisis that some people want to make it out to be, is not something that warrants a massive overreaction or for the calling of the manager to be sacked. I just think we need to be a bit more mature and realize where we are. You know, and back and support the team. And I think the post-mortems, they can wait until we're actually dead in this title race, because right now we're not. We're still very much alive in it. We're not the favourites, as I keep saying, but we're in it. And while we're in it, we've got to give it our absolute all. And this negativity and constant criticism of the side, which in some cases is justified and fair, but in others, I think is ridiculous. That needs to be put on ice for now. We can deal with it later. I'll catch you all soon. I'll be back live tonight, actually, after the game at around about 9:45 p.m. That's the perks of me not going to the game. So I'll catch you all then. We'll break it all down. We'll hopefully be talking about a positive result. Until then, take care. All the best. Goodbye.